Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem Rei Avraham Goldar and today Maseches Yuma Daf Mem Beis, the fourth parak Tarpa Kalpi. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rabbi Yitzchak said, "Shtei shchitas shemati." I heard from my teachers a distinction between two shchitas, that of the Paraduma and that of the Par of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, where one of those kosher done by a zar and the other is not, but I don't know which one is valid. After the Gemara clarifies that Rav holds that the Paraduma is pasul if it's shechted by a zar, and Shmuel holds that it's the Kohen Gadol's part that becomes pasul, the Gemara challenges each opinion since they use similar words in the Psukim to support their rulings. The Gemara challenges Shmuel as to why he holds that the Paraduma is kosher if the Shechita is done by a zar, and answers that in the case of the Paraduma, the Pasuk states, "V'shachet osa lefanav," and he shall slaughter it in front of him, referring to a lazar. This implies zar shochet v'lazar roeh, that a zar shechs the Paraduma while a lazar watches. According to Rabu, who holds that a lazar was the one who shechted the Paraduma, the Pasuk means, "Shua yasiach daita memena," that a lazar who is the one shechting the Paraduma shall not divert his attention from it. Rashi explains that he must constantly guard it from two and other disqualifications. Shmuel learned this then from a different part of the Pasuk. Point number two, the Gemara brings support for Rav that a Paraduma shechted by a zar is pasul from a brice which teaches that just as a woman may not do the sprinkling of the Paraduma, she cannot do the shechita as well as other avodas of the Paraduma. This implies that just as a woman cannot do the shechita, similarly a zar may not do the shechita. The Gemara challenges this, given that a woman may not do the hazah, but a zar can. So perhaps a woman can't do the shechita, but a zar can. Abaye answered that the reason the Braisa disqualifies a woman from the shechita of the Paraduma is from the fact that the Pasuk identified a lazar for the shechita and not a woman. Similarly, with regard to a zar, we may say a lazar is specified and not a zar. And point number three, Ula does an extensive examination of the Psukim from the Parsha of Paraduma. As part of his analysis, he says the Pasuk states, "V'hotzi osa," and he shall take it out to the outside of the camp, which teaches "Shelo yotzi acheres imah," that he should not take another cow with it. As it's learned in the Mishnah in Para, if the Paraduma did not want to go out, we don't take a black one with it, so people shouldn't say they shechted the black one for the avoda, and they should not take out even a red one with it, so that people should not say they shechted two of them. Rashi explains that the shechita of the second one together with the first would constitute an accompanying different activity which would puzzle the par shechita. Revi says that this is not the reason, but rather because the pasuk says, "Osa levada," and he shall take it out, which implies it alone. The Tanakhama who didn't learn this drasha is Rabbi Shimon, whose darsh timed the kra. He expounds the rationale of the pasuk. The nafkamina between them is taking a donkey out with the cow. According to the Tanakhama, it's permitted since the rationale doesn't apply, whereas according to Revi, it is forbidden since the paraduma is not being taken out alone. So once again, the 3 points are: number one, Rabbi Yitzchak said, "Shtei shchitas shemati." I heard from my teachers a distinction between two shchitas, that of the Paraduma and that of the Par of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, where one of them is kosher done by a zar and the other is not, but I don't know which one is valid. After the Gemara clarifies that Rav holds that the Paraduma is pasul if it's shechted by a zar, and Shmuel holds that is the Kohen Gadol's part that becomes pasul, the Gemara challenges each opinion since they use similar words in the Psukim to support their rulings. The Gemara challenges Shmuel as to why he holds that the Paraduma is kosher if the Shechita is done by a zar, and answers that in the case of the Paraduma, the Pasuk states, "V'shachet osa lefanav," and he shall slaughter it in front of him, referring to a lazar. This implies zar shochet v'lazar roeh, that a zar shechs the Paraduma while a lazar watches. According to Rav, who holds that a lazar was the one who shechted the Paraduma, the Pasuk means, "Shelo yasiach daita memena," that a lazar, who is the one shechting the Paraduma, shall not divert his attention from it. Rashi explains that he must constantly guard it from Tumah and other disqualifications. Shmuel learns this then from a different part of the Pasuk. Point number two, the Gemara brings us support for Rav that a Paraduma shechted by a zar is possible from a brice which teaches that just as a woman may not do the sprinkling of the Paraduma, she can't do the shechita as well as the other avodas of the Paraduma. This implies that just as a woman cannot do the shechita, similarly a zar may not do the shechita. The Gemara challenges this, given that a woman may not do the hazah, but a zar can. So perhaps a woman cannot do the shechita, but a zar can. Abaye answered that the reason the Braisa disqualifies a woman from the shechita of the Paraduma is from the fact that the Pasuk identified a lazar for the shechita and not a woman. Similarly, with regard to a zar, we may say a lazar is specified and not a zar. And point number three, Ula does an extensive examination of the Psukim from the Parsha of Paraduma. As part of his analysis, he says, the Pasuk states, "V'hotzi osa," and he shall take it out to the outside of the camp, which teaches, "Shelo yotzi acheres imah," that he should not take another cow with it. As it was learned in the Mishnah in Parah, if the Paraduma did not want to go out, we don't take a black one with it, so people shouldn't say they shechted the black one for the avoda. And they don't take out even a red one with it, so people shouldn't say they shechted two of them. Rashi explains that the shechita of the second one together with the first would constitute an accompanying different activity, which would puzzle the par shechita. Rebbe says that this is not the reason, but rather because the pasuk says, Osa, levada, and he shall take it out, which implies it alone. The Tanakhama, who didn't learn this Rashi, is Rebbe Shimon, who is Darsh time of the Kra. He expounds the rationale of the pasuk. The nafkamina between them is taking a donkey out with the cow. According to the Tanakhama, it's permitted since the rationale doesn't apply, whereas according to Rebbe, it's forbidden since the parduma is not being taken out alone. All right, so now we go to our Simfer Daf Mem Beis, and our standard simon is a mobster. So here goes. The non-Kohen mobster, who was thrilled that he was able to shecht the paraduma, became enraged when he was told the par is now puzzle because he's no more qualified than a woman, and that even his donkey can't walk out with the paraduma. Once again, it's slow motion. The non-Kohen mobster, that must be one Daf Mem Beis. The non-Kohen mobster who was thrilled that he was able to shecht the paraduma, which reminds us, the Rav Yitzchak said that he heard from his teachers the distinction between two shechitas, that of the paraduma and that of the par of the Kohen Gadol of Yom Kippur, where one of the kosher done by Ezra and the other is not, but he didn't know which one was valid. After the more clarifies that Rav holds that the paraduma is possible if it's shechted by Ezra, and Shmuel holds that it's the Kohen Gadol's part that becomes possible, the Gemara challenges each opinion since they use similar words in the psukim to support their rulings. The Gemara challenges Shmuel as to why he holds the paraduma is kosher if the shechita is done by Ezra, and answers that in the case of the paraduma, the pasuk states, "V'shachut osa lefanav," and he shall slaughter it in front of him, referring to Elazar. So this implies Zar shochet v'lezer roa, that a zar shechts the paraduma while lezer watches. According to Rav, who holds that Elazar was the one who shechted the paraduma, the pasuk means shol yisiach daito mimena, that Elazar, who's the one shechting the paraduma, shall not divert his attention from it. Rush explains that he must constantly guard it from two and other disqualifications. Shmuel learns this then from a different part of the pasuk. So the non-Kohen mobster, who was thrilled that he was able to shecht the paraduma, became enraged when he was told the par is now puzzle because he's no more qualified than a woman. Which reminds the Gemara brings the support for Rav that a par duma shechted by Zar is puzzle from a brisa which teaches that just as a woman may not do the sprinkling of the par duma, she can't do the shechita as well as the other avodas of the par duma. So this implies that just as a woman cannot do the shechita, similarly a Zar may not do the shechita. The Gemara challenges this, given that a woman may not do the hazah, but a Zar can. So perhaps a woman cannot do the shechita, but a Zar can. Abai answered that the reason the Braisa disqualifies a woman from the Shechita of the Paraduma is from the fact that the Pasuk identified Elazar with the Shechita and not a woman. Similarly, with regard to a Zar, we may say Elazar is specified and not a Zar. So the non-Kohen mobster, who was thrilled he was able to shecht the Paraduma, became enraged when he was told the Par is now puzzle because he's no more qualified than a woman and that even his donkey can't walk out with the Paraduma. Which reminds us, Ula did an extensive examination of the Psukim from the Parsha Paraduma. As part of his analysis, he says, the Pasuk states, V'hotzi osa, he shall take it out to the outside of the camp, which teaches Shul Yotzi Acheres Ima, that he shall not take another cow with it. As it was learned in the Mishnah Par, if the Paraduma did not want to go out, we don't take a black one with it, so people should not say they shechted the black one for the Avoda. And they don't take out even a red one with it, so the people shouldn't say they shechted the two of them. Rashi explains that the shechita of the second one, together with the first one, would constitute an accompanying different activity, which would invalidate the par shechita. Rebbe says this is not the reason, but rather because the pasuk says, Osa levada, he shall take it out, which implies it alone. The Tanakhama, who didn't learn this Rashi, is Rebbe Shimon. It was Darsh time of the Kra. He expounds the rationale of the pasuk. The nafkamina between them is taking out a donkey with the cow. According to the Tanakhama, it's permitted since the rationale doesn't apply, whereas according to Rebbe, it's forbidden since the paraduma is not being taken out alone. So once again, the non-Kohen mobster, who was thrilled he was able to shecht the paraduma, became enraged when he was told the par is now puzzle because he's no more qualified than a woman, and then even his donkey can't walk out with the paraduma. All right, now it's time for a four blah bat chazorah. Daf lamed ches. So the simmer lamed ches is a davar lach, a liquid, and we use chicken soup. So here goes. The two miniature copper doors floating in the pot of hot chicken soup, that must be one daf. Lamed Ches, a davar lach. The two miniature copper doors floating in the pot of hot chicken soup, which reminds the Mishnah Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph stated, Nikanor Nasan Nisim Del Sosav, regarding Nikanor miracles occurred to his doors. Gemara brings a brisa, explains that he had purchased copper doors in Alexandria for the eastern gate of the Azora. Upon his return, he saw the first door that had been thrown overboard because of the storm poking out from under the walls of the ship. Others say a sea creature had swallowed it and spat it out on land. Therefore, all the gates that were in the base of Migdash were rendered out of gold except for Nicanor. So the two miniature copper doors floating in the pot of hot chicken soup caused the steam to rise up in a straight pillar, which reminds us the next Mishnah lists various families and individuals that are mentioned in the Ganai unfavorably for not wanting to share their unique skills with others. Beis Garmu didn't want to teach their secret for keeping the Lechem upon him fresh for the entire week, Beis Aptinas, didn't want to share their secret of preparing the katoris so that the smoke went straight up in a pillar. Hugras ben Levi knew a special musical method but didn't want to teach it. And Ben Kamser didn't want to teach his method for writing with four pens at the same time. The Gemara clarifies that in the first three cases, the motivation not to teach the skill was so that it shouldn't fall in the hands of idolaters. Referring to them, it said, Zecher Tzadik of Bracha, the mention of a Tzadik is for Bracha. Ben Kamser, however, had no excuse for not teaching his skill, and concerning him it said, V'shem Rasham Yerkav, in the name of the wicked, will rot. So the two miniature copper doors floating in the pot of hot chicken soup caused the steam to rise up in a straight pillar, and helped all those that smelled its aroma to not forget their learning. Which reminds us, Rabbi Lazar said, Kol Meshechech Dabar Metalmudu Gorm Galus Levanav, anyone who causes himself to forget something from his learning causes his children to go into exiles. It says, "Tishkach Torah El Kecha Eshkach Banecho Gam Ani." Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Riabau said, "Morid no som gduaso." He's demoted from his position of greatness. For it says at the beginning of that pasuk, "Ki ata hadas ma'asta ve'emasecha mechahin li." Because you have spurned knowledge, I will spurn you for ministering to me. Daf Lametes. So the Simur Daf Lametes is a letter or a mailman. So here goes. As the surgeon removed the tiny letter, obstructing the sin-filled mailman's heart. Letter? Mailman? That must be more Daf Lametes. As the surgeon removed the tiny letter, obstructing the sinful mailman's heart, which reminds us, it was taught in the Yeshiva B'Shmo, Aver metamtemes libo shel adam, an aver obstructs the heart of a person, as it says in the pasuk, Lusitamu behemit meisim bum. You should not contaminate yourselves through them, lest you become contaminated through them. Don't pronounce it lest you become contaminated, but rather lest you become obstructed. The Gemara also brings a drasha focusing on spiritual growth. It was taught in a brisa. The pasuk says, "Vizgadishtem v'yisim kadoshim." You shall sanctify yourselves and become holy. Adam mekadosh atzmo me'at mekadoshin oso harbe melamat mekadoshin oso melamala b'olamazem mekadoshin oso lom haba. So as the surgeon removed the tiny letter obstructing the sinful mailman's heart, he pulled it out with his lucky right hand for the 40th year in a row. Which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa that during the 40 years that Shimon and Tzedek served as Kohen Gadol, Hayagoro Olabiyamin, the lot inscribed for Hashem would always come up in his right hand, which was a good sign that Kohen Gadol found favor before Kadosh Baruch Hu. The brisa continues listing other positive signs that occurred during his tenure as Kohen Gadol. The strip of red wool would always whiten, the Nemer Ravi would always remain lit, the fire of the Merach would always burn strong on its own, and a bracha was sent on the omen, the Shtei Lechem, the Lechem upon him, and every Kohen Gadol received just a piece, a size of the kazayis, either was sated or even left some over. It was taught in another brisa that during the 4 years prior to the destruction of Bais Sheni, the lot inscribed for Hashem never came up in the Kohen Gadol's right hand, the strip of red wool never whitened, the Ner Meravi never remained lit, and the doors of the Heichal would open on their own, which Rashi explains was a sign for the enemies of the Jewish people to come and destroy it. So, as the surgeon removed the tiny letter obstructing the sin-filled mailman's heart, he pulled it out with his lucky right hand for the 40th year in a row, while the sweet fragrance of incense wafted in from 10 parsos away. Which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa that 10 times the Kohen Gadol pronounces the name referring to the four-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Yom Kippur, 3 times in the first vidui, 3 times in the second vidui, 3 times over the Seir HaZazel, and 1 time with the lots. And it happened during the time when miracles occurred in the base of Mikdash that he said the name and his voice was heard in Yericho. And Rabbi Baruch Hanna said, from Yerushalayim until Yericho is a distance of 10 parsos, and the creaking of the hinge of the Heichal doors was heard when they were open and closed at a distance of 8 Chumash Shabbos. The goats from Yericho would sneeze from the fragrance of the Ketores, and the women Yericho didn't have to perfume themselves, nor did a bride in Yerushalayim have to perfume herself because of the fragrance of the Ketores. Daf Mem, so the Simur Daf Mem is a pool. So here goes. The pool race, that must mean we're on Daf Mem. The pool race was a disaster when an argument broke out whether a lot was essential to decide who gets the coveted right lane. Which reminds us, the Gemara on the bottom of Daf Lametes on base introduced a machlokas whether drawing the lots or the two of Seirim is essential. Rabbi Yanai said, Ali is gorma to kalpi ma'akevas, hanache ena ma'akevas. The drawing of the lot from the kalpi is essential for the Yom Kippur voter, but placing the lot on the appropriate goat isn't essential. Rabbi Yochanan said, afaliya ena ma'akevas, even drawing the lots is not essential. According to the second interpretation of the Machlokas, they disagree with respect to the view of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that any avoda done in the Big Day Lavan outside the Kodesh Kodashim is not essential. Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is obviously congruent with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yanai, who holds that the drawing of lots is essential, would say that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is not a contradiction to this, as the lacha is different with regard to drawing lots, because the words Asher Allah, which came up, is mentioned 2 times, indicating that it's essential. The Gemara attempts to bring a proof against Rabbi Yanai from a brisa that states, V'se'ira in ma'akev is a part. If the avoda was done out of order, neglect a part of the avoda of the seer does not invalidate the avoda of the par, that was improperly done before it. The Gemara suggests that the avoda of the seer that was not done in order was the drawing of lots, and yet the service is not invalidated. This would seem to prove that the drawing of lots is not essential. The Gemara rejects this proof, saying that the Tana of the Braisa was Rabbi Shimon, who holds that drawing the lots are not essential. Alternatively, the Tana could be Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that although the drawing of lots in order is not essential, the basic drawing of lots is essential. So the pool race was a disaster when an argument broke out whether a lot was essential to decide who gets the coveted right lane. And when the head counselor switched the starting gun from his left to right hand, which reminds us, the Gemara tends to prove that all Tanaim agree that the lottery is not essential, but more Bryce, where Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim asked them what the din is if the lot for Hashem came up in the Kohen Gadol's left hand. Is he allowed to change it to his right hand, since that's an auspicious sign that the Jewish people will be forgiven? Rabbi Kiva answered, don't give the Tzedukim a basis to dominate. Rashi explains that Tzedukim will use this to support their claim that the Chamim formulate the law according to their own whims. The Gemara suggests from this that if not for this concern, switching hands would be permissible, implying that drawing lots is not essential. If it were essential, the left-hand goat would be determined to be the one for Hashem. The Gemara rejects this proof by reinterpreting the Talmudim's question to be that in a case where the lottery came up in the left hand, would it be permissible to switch the lottery to the right hand and switch the left-hand goat to the right side? So the pool race was a disaster when an argument broke out whether a lot was essential to decide who gets the coveted right lane. And when the head counselor switched the starting gun from his left to right hand, the camp prankster put a sticker on him, officially designating him as a chatas. Which reminds, the Gemara brings a conclusive proof that Rabbi Yudah holds the drawing of lots to be essential. It was stated in the Sifra that the pasuk says in reference to the lots, Vasau chatas, and it shall make it, referring to the seer that the lot for Hashem fell upon, into a chatas. Hagora aseo chatas, ve'en Hashem aseo chatas. Only the lot makes the goat a chatas, but verbally designating the goat with the name chatas does not make the seer a chatas. Rashi explains that merely declaring the seer to be a chatas without the drawing of lots doesn't invest the seer with the status of a chatas. Since Stam Sifra Rabbi Yehuda, anonymous prices in the Sifra Rabbi Yehuda, this proves conclusively that he holds that drawing lots is essential.
Daf Mem Aleph. So the Zimmer Daf Mem Aleph is a grandma. So here goes.
The grandma, grandma. That must mean we're on Daf Mem Aleph. The grandma who designated her two precious little birds when she bought them. Which reminds, Rav Chisda said that kings do not assume their respective designations of either Achatas and Ola except at the time the owner's taking them to be offerings or at the time the Kohen's actual making of the offerings. Rashi explains that if the owner specifies at the time of taking them, then the designations become irrevocably fixed. Should the Kohen then reverse them, the offerings become puzzle. If he didn't designate them at that time, then even if he attempts to do so later, they remain legally undesignated, and the Kohen may offer either one as the Chatas and the other one as the Ola. Rav Shim Rashi said that Rav Chisda's reasoning is based on the pasuk regarding Kinim, V'lakcha ba'asa, and he shall take, and the Kohen shall make. So we derive from here that Kinim become designated, O'ba'akichu O'ba'asiya, either the owner is taking or at the Kohen is making of the offerings. The Gemara attempts twice to challenge Rav Chisda's rule to prove that the Kinim can be designated in between the taking and the actual offering, but is unsuccessful. So the grandma, who designated her two precious little birds when she bought them, didn't see her wealthy tummy grandson snatch them. Which reminds us, Rabbi Elazar said in the Rav Hoshea that a wealthy person who made the temple tummy and then brought the offering of a poor person, meaning kinim, he has not fulfilled his chiyuv. Rabbi Chaga says in the Rav Hoshea that he has fulfilled his chiyuv. The Gemara challenges Rabbi Chaga's position based on the Mishnah Gan that states that if a poor Metzora brought the offering of a wealthy person, he has fulfilled his chiyuv, whereas if a wealthy Metzora brought the offering of a poor person, he has not fulfilled his chiyuv. The Gemara answers that the case of a Metzora is different, for it's written in that section, Zos, this shall be the law of the Metzora. The restrictive word, the Zos, teaches that the Metzora may bring only those offerings specifically prescribed for him. When the Gemara challenges his answer based on the first case, where the poor Metzora does fulfill his chiyuv when he brings the wealthy person's offering, it answers that the inclusive expression, Toras, the law of the Metzora, teaches that there is one law for the poor and wealthy Metzora. Both may fulfill their chiyuv with the wealthy person's offering. So the grandma, who designated her two precious little birds when she bought them, didn't see her wealthy tummy grandson snatch them, because she was busy trying to knit one strip of red wool with the minimum shear. Which reminds us, Rav Yitzchak said that he heard from his teachers a distinction that between the two strips of red wool, one for the paraduma and one for the seer hamishtalech, that only one requires a minimum shear, but he couldn't remember which one. Rav Yosef said it seemed more reasonable that the seer hamishtalech requires the minimum shear, the boy chalukah, since it requires division into two parts, as Rashi explains, half tied to the goat's head and half tied to the rock. When Rami Bar Chama objected, saying the paraduma also requires a minimum shear because it must have weight, as Rashi explains, it must be heavy enough to plummet into the flame, Rami answered, saying that it's a malchus tanaim whether it requires weight,
and Rabbi Yosef falls the view that it does not. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from previous Masechtos. Number 1. Which of the one, if the partner does not want to go out, one is not permitted to take a second cow with it, and it's the Malchokas if a donkey may accompany it? That's on Daf Membeis. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do we discuss? Which strip of red wool requires a minimum shear? That's on Daf Memov. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do we learn that the scent of the Ketores reached all the way to Yericho? That's on Daf Lamentes. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do we learn that someone who walks to the right of his Rebbe is a boor? That's on Daf Lamed Zayin. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do we learn that it's the drawing of the lots that makes the Seir into a Chattas? That's on Daf Mem. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do we have 4 cases where people did not want to share their unique skills? That's on Daf Lamed Ches. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do we have in Malkos, Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Yochanan, whether drawing the lots is Ma'akev? That's on Daf Mem. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do we have that Aver Metamtemis Libo Shal Adam? That's on Daf Lamed Ches. Good. Number 9. Which stuff was it taught that just like a woman cannot shech the Paraduma, Azar cannot? That's on Daf Membeis. Good. And number 10. Which of the one the Rav Chissa said that kinim are either designated at the time of taking or at the time of being offered? That's on Daf Memov. Excellent. All right, now it's time for the 3 bonus questions. Number 1. Which of the one that the Nefesh mourns over itself for 7 days? That's on Daf Kufnum Beis and Shabbos. Good. Number 2. Which of the one from the Pasuk Yomahu Yeh Hashem Echad Shmo Echad that in the future will pronounce Hashem's name the way that it's written? That's on Daf Nunim Psachim. Good. And number 3. Which stuff do you learn that the Neshama is like HaKadosh Baruch Hu in 5 different ways? That's on Daf Yudim Brachas. Excellent. All right, that concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.